let's start it off. There are two main things that we're going to go into in this week's parsha, Parshas Chayisara. So let's go. Vayuchayisara, Meya Shana, Vasim Shana, Vesheva Shanin, Shnei Chayisara, that Sara Imenu, when she passed away, was 127 years old. Okay, this whole parsha is the strangest parsha in the sense that it is almost a complete waste of a parak, where Eliezer tells over everything he did when the psukim spend so much time doing it. And then it's repeated. Everything is gone over again. It's not like we missed anything. With little nuances. And Eda Hanani, yes, Chazal, Darshan, oh, it says this over here, so therefore we know this, and therefore it says that. But it seems to be that he just repeats himself all over again. In the same Torah that we fit creation to about 25 psukim. All of creation is in 25 psukim. Where the first 1600 years are summarized by a parsha and a half. First 1600 years summarized by that. Here we spend about a parak, and not only stama parak, about 63 psukim, and Eliezer Ben Avraham repeating what happened to him that we just went into in detail a parak before. It's a very, very strange thing. Okay, we have to understand something also. To be the Rosh Yeshiva of Avraham Avinu's Yeshiva, the Dole Umashke, as they say about the Mesek Eliezer, that he was the one who drew out the Torah of Avraham Avinu, and then be called by Avraham Avinu a person who is a curse, and therefore your daughter cannot marry my son because you're cursed and I'm blessed. That was the line that Avraham Avinu gave to him. That's a very strange thing to understand. Very, very strange thing to understand. I don't understand. If Eliezer Ben Avraham, this person's unbelievable, and yet he's called a klala, he's called cursed by Avraham Avinu. I'm sorry? Pasuk Chaf Tes and Chaf Lamed Tes, I'm sorry, in Rashi. Lamed Tes and Rashi. Just a very, very strange thing altogether. And to be known as an Eved, there is not one mention of Eliezer's name. In fact, Eliezer's name is only mentioned once in the Torah. Only once in the Torah. The name Eliezer. And it's only Damesek Eliezer when Avraham Avinu said, is he going to inherit me? It's the only time the name Eliezer makes it in the Torah. His name doesn't make it once in this Parsha. The whole Parsha is about him. He's in almost every Pasuk in this Parsha. Almost everything. Until, you know, take out Ephron and everything in the beginning with Avraham Avinu buying Maris Machpelah. And Eliezer is all over the place, but he's Eved Avraham, or Ha'ish, the man. And he is the man. I understand that. But Eliezer Eved Avraham is a good name. God helping me is a great name to have. You have to understand, what did Eliezer do? He was mevatel himself. He didn't allow himself to be thought of as a person on his own. He was thought of as a pure eved of Avraham Avinu. Here we go. Let's try to understand something a little bit better. Pasuk Perek Chaf Dalet. Pasuk Hey. Vayomar Elav Eved. The Eved said to him, Ulai lo sova isha lecha zacharai. Perhaps the woman will not want to come with me. I'm sorry. I skipped the line over here. Should I bring your son to that land? And Avraham Avinu says the famous line, Yitzchak Avinu cannot leave Eretz Yisrael. Not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. The word ulai here is spelled in the Torah, Aleph, Vav, Lamed, Yud, as it should be. Ulai, perhaps. Later on in the parsha, when he's going over everything to Besuel and to Lavan, Lavan, who, by the way, is Bilam, says, Pasuk Lamed Tetz, Va'omar.
I'm sorry, what?
Lavan is Bilam. We'll see that later. The Omar Eladuni, and I said to my master, Ulai lo sele ha'isha acharai, perhaps the woman will not go after me. Okay, so that was the same line I said before, except over here, there's no vav. There's a shuruk underneath. It's an aleph lamed yud. So Rashi gets a hold of that, and that's the Rashi I was telling you before. Eli ksiv, bas ha'isa lo Eliezer. Eliezer had a daughter. V'hayav machazer limtzo al ila. He was trying to find a reason, right? She yomer lo Avram litno se love lafio bito, so that Avram could say, "Oh, I want my son to marry your daughter." Amar lo Avram b'ni baruch v'ata arur. My son is blessed. Your son, your daughter is cursed. V'in arur midavik v'varuch. And a cursed woman cannot marry my son that's blessed. That's what you get over here. Here's the kasha. If he said that to Avram Avinu, so why don't we have the remez before when he was talking to Avram Avinu? Why is the remez only right now when he's talking to Lavan and Besuel? Why say the remez here in Pasuk Lamed Tes when in Pasuk Hey it says the actual word, the word Ulai with above? So, and also, what does it mean to be cursed? What does it mean to be a curse? So here's the pshat. Avraham Avinu is the epitome of Baruch. What does that mean to be a Baruch? To care about other people and to not think about yourself. To think about everybody else out there and to say to yourself, okay, here we go. I don't have my own ego. It doesn't matter about my own ego. The fact is, I live for everybody else in this world. And Avraham Avinu represented that. We all know that, right? I'm going to live in the entire world. Everything he did was about everybody else. How about Zorchim, the Gmil Chassanim that he did? It was all about listening to others and doing whatever they wanted. An example, Rus. There are two times in the Megillas Rus where Rav Schwab says it skips out on a word. It doesn't say a word. It's not written in the Megillas Rus, but it's read as if it's there. The two times are these words. Kol asher tomri e'aseh. That's the words in Rus. Everything you tell me, I will do. The creed, what we read in Megillas Rus, is kol asher tomri e'lai e'aseh. Everything you tell to me, I will do. But it doesn't say the word e'lai in Rus. Another time. It says, ki omar e'lai altavoi re'kam. She has told me, don't come empty. It does not say the word e'lai. It says, ki omar altavoi re'kam. It does not say the word e'lai. Twice, the word e'lai is missing in Rus. What's the pshat? Rus was mevatel herself to Naomi. Naomi, her mother-in-law, her old mother-in-law, her ex-mother-in-law, because Machlon passed away, Rus refused to find her own ego. She didn't have her own life. There was nothing. Rus said, I am going to do whatever you want me to do, Naomi. She was mevatel herself completely. Absolutely completely. She no longer considered herself to be an entity, so to speak. Whatever Naomi tells me to do, I'll do. So because of that, she went from the curse of Moab to be called by Boaz, Brucha At Lashem. You're blessed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word that's used by Boaz is Brucha At Lashem Biti. You're blessed. Eliezer, in order to become a Baruch, instead of being an Arur that he already was, he was cursed from what he was, in order to become a Baruch, you know what he had to do? He had to forget about his daughter and do whatever the tzaddik wanted him to do. You want me to go get a daughter for your son? Forget about my daughter and be mevatel himself completely and allow himself to just think. So to Avraham Avinu, when he was talking to Avraham Avinu, he didn't have a Havamina to give his daughter over. It wasn't even a Havamina. It's Ulailo Sova Isha. Perhaps the woman won't want to go, then what's going to happen? But me, Eliezer didn't even have a Havamina that he would go back to me. There's no question it's not going to go back to me. Just stop. Once I do that, where do I go? Should I go this way? Should I go that way? What am I supposed to do? To Avraham Avinu, it was literally nothing. Nothing. There was no thought. But then, when he had his shlichus, he should have been blessed and freed, and everything should have been good. And according to Yalkut Shimoni, Eliezer Avraham did go to Gan Eden alive. He went to Gan Eden alive after this whole story. That's why we don't mention him after this parsha. Went to Gan Eden alive. But Lamaisa, later on in the parsha, he says the word Eli. He says it, the wording in the pasuk is read as Ulai, but the word is Eli. And then later on, when he's talking to Levin Abisrael, he seems to lose that whole idea of being mevatel himself. He says, here's what I told Avraham Avinu. I said, if you don't take this daughter over here, if you don't take Rivka, you're going to come back to my daughter. When he was talking to Levin of Bishul, that's what he said. What happened? If Eved Avraham didn't even want to mention his name, the first three words that he said to Levin of Bishul were what? Eved Avraham Anochi. He doesn't exist aside from being an Eved of Avraham Avinu. So how could he have some negiyas? How could he have an ego? How could he say anything about himself? He should have said, forget it, I'm not here. It doesn't matter to me at all. How could he even say it at the end? That's number one. Number two, what did Avraham Avinu do in order to make sure that he was going to do what he set out to do?
He made
it take a shmuel. What the heck? This guy's the Rosh Yeshiva of your yeshiva. Well, can you imagine? You can imagine one Rosh Yeshiva going to the other? Swear to me, aside from that, swear to me that you're going to do exactly as I say? Wait, he's your Rosh Yeshiva. Just tell him, please do it. I mean, it's strange that a person would go ahead and make the shmuel. What's a shmuel? Didn't Avraham Avinu trust him? He fought in war with him. Him and Eliezer versus all the four kings. And you don't trust them to be able to go find a wife? What, this is harder than fighting against four kings? Number two. Number three. Everybody knows what happened to Eliezer and Avraham. He left, and what happened to him? He immediately had Ksitz Sederach. And he found himself immediately by the house of Lavan, which is pretty awesome. He walked out of the house, and he's like, oh, I'm here. He found himself there. What in the world is the point of Ksitz Sederach? Why does he have to have Ksitz Sederach? Was it that big of a deal that he had to get there so quickly? Like, oh, chip chop, he's got to get married by tonight. Well, you should have sent him a month ago. Well, how do you know this is it? Ksitz Sederach is a very, very strange thing. That's number three. I'll give you another question. Number four, he davens, right? He says the following words, Hakre no lefanai. It's in Pasuk Yud Beis. Hakre no lefanai. The word hakre is a Lashon Mikre. Like, if she happens to stop by, come on, Mikre? We know there's Ashkaka Pratis. Eliezer Ben Avraham knew there was Ashkaka Pratis. He knew there was a certain thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing. It's not a question of Mikre. Oh, it just happens to be she stopped by at that time. No, it was Ashkaka Pratis that it happened that time. What's the word of Hakre no lefanai? And then, when he's speaking to Lavan and Bisuel, he doesn't use those words. He doesn't use those words. He davened that she should come to the well. But it doesn't say the words Hakrein Elefanai. When he repeated the story over, why did he skip those things? Okay. You got to pay attention to this. Because in order to understand this story, you have to be there the whole time. That means your brain has to work completely. The entire time. Daniel, that means no spacing out. No spacing out. That's not possible here. You got to pay attention the entire time. It's not that long. It's not that long. It's going to be a little more than six words. But it's a big word. Mashiach. Mashiach doesn't just come stop. The lineage that Mashiach has, it starts from Yehuda and Tamar. I really should start from Lot and his daughters. Yehuda and Tamar. You can just bring it all the way through. Rus and Boaz. David and Bathsheba. All strange relationships that do not look good. Strange relationships that seem to have problems with them. All led to Mashiach. Why? Because Mashiach has issues in being brought down to this world. What happens if Mashiach comes? What happens to the Satan? What happens to the Mekatrigim? All the accusers. They're shechted. They're gone. So what's the Satan and the Mekatrigim going to do? They're going to try to push it off as much as possible. Do anything they can. Anything that's possible to make sure the Mashiach won't come. Anything they can. If they hear about a crazy relationship where one Rosh Yeshiva marries another Rosh Yeshiva's daughter, they're going to try to make sure, Mashiach can come from that. Tremendous kedusha in that relationship. I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen. They're going to make sure that something's going to get involved over here, push himself in, and say, I'm not going to let that happen. So Mashiach can't happen through that type of relationship. Instead, it has to be done in sort of a strange way, in a roundabout way, where people are doing it l'shem shamayim, but on the outside it looks terrible. They're doing it l'shem shamayim, and they're not doing anything wrong. But somebody looking at it might say, what in the world is going on here?
What do you mean they're not doing anything wrong? It's wrong.
Lot and his two daughters was done l'shem shamayim.
Yehuda
and Tamar. Not in what they were thinking. Right, not what they were thinking. And what they were thinking is, this is the last person in the world. What's wrong about that? This is the only way that we're going to be able to have children. You can't say anything bad about the Noslots. They're tremendously holy people. They made it into the Torah. I didn't make it in. You definitely didn't make it in. Nobody here made it in. If they made it in, they're big. Not just them, maybe one day. Maybe that'll end up happening. We're talking about people. David HaMelech, Kol Omer, David HaMelech, Chotei Inu El HaToah. Kol Omer Yehuda Chotei Inu El HaToah. You can't say that Yehuda did a sin. You can't say that Rus and Boaz was an unbelievable relationship, where Boaz went up against all of Sanhedrin and said, Moav Yivlo Moaviyah, that it's mutter for Rus to join Klal Yisrael. In order for these things to happen, it has to be something that looks strange. Seems to be something wrong. Seems to be something going on here. What's happening? Why is this happening? And that's why it was Yaakov and Leah, if you remember from last year, and not Yaakov and Rachel that brought about Mashiach. Yaakov and Leah, because it looks bad. Yaakov hates Leah. Leah's the hated wife. Leah feels, oh man, I'm the hated wife. Rachel's the loved wife. That's the way that you bring about Mashiach, by showing something on the outside where the Satan says, no way Mashiach can come through there. And it always happens through there. It always happens because they did it l'shem shamayim, and the Satan doesn't believe it was done l'shem shamayim. There's so many kitrugim, there's so many menios, things that are holding them back, things that are holding back the Mashiach to be there. So here we go. For the Satan to allow it to go past them, it's got to be pulled past the Satan without the Satan realizing it. Rivka was an unreal neshama. Yitzchak was an unbelievable neshama that was shechted to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If they were to get together, the Satan knew there would be tremendous kedusha that came from them. Tremendous kedusha. And he was worried. So he kept Rivka in a place of tumah. Put her in a place of filth. A place of absolute garbage. Where there was nothing else there with the master mechashef, the master magician. Who Yonis ben Uzziel says, Lavan became Bilam later on. Whether it was a Gilgal or it was an actual body, it seems from the Yonis ben Uzziel that Lavan was actually Bilam. Bilam was there. The master kishef, the master in kishef, there's no one like him. Bilam was there to make sure that everything was as tummy as possible. To get down Rivka as much as possible, to destroy her. Eliezer needed all the koach he could possibly get, no matter how big of a Rosh Yeshiva he was, all the koach he could possibly get to be able to pull Rivka away from Tuma and bring her over to Kedusha. To do that, you need everything. So Avraham Avinu pulled it all out. He made him take a shvuah. A shvuah gives you koach, says the Sfas Emes. A shvuah makes you have extra koach, extra spiritual koach that you didn't have beforehand. That's why breaking a shvuah is mamash like breaking the worst thing in the world. Breaking something that you swore about is the worst thing you could possibly do. So that amount of koach is needed to be matzliach, or Bilam's going to win. So the shvuah was given just for that. He davened extra, and he gave a little bit of an extra prayer, and he said, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please let everything happen in the right way, because he knew this was going to be bad. The Kfitz Sederach happened immediately. He had to get there immediately so that the Kintrugim wouldn't have enough time to accuse. They wouldn't don't have enough time to argue. So that Satan wouldn't realize what's going on until, oh my gosh, he's already there. Elias already got there so quickly so that Satan had to know, we have to go up right now, we have to do something right now. And when he talked, he said in his tefillah the lashon of mikra. Let it just happen. So that the Satan doesn't see it as hashgacha pratis. Let the Satan see it as a lashon mikra. Something that just happened. Nothing that, not something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned. Just happened to be that the first girl that was coming along was Rivka. But not that it was planned. Just a mikra. That's what Eliezer was asking for. Let it be the lashon mikra. But Bilam's not dumb. Lavan is not dumb. And he realized that, so when he said it over to Lavan and Bilam, he didn't want to say over the lashon mikra. He said it over and just said, she was there. He didn't want to say over what his plan was to make sure that the Satan was knocked down. He didn't want to say over. And Bilam realized there's something going on here. When he said that he had Kfitz Saderach, Lavan and Bilam looked at this and they said, what's going on here? Besuul as well. Besuul is also a king of Tumah. They sat there and they said, something's going on here. There's something wrong. There's something happening that we don't get. Someone's trying to fool me. So what are we getting over here? What are we missing? What's going on here? So they said, let's see. If Eliezer does it, L'shem Shemayim. If Eliezer does all this, L'shem Shemayim, if he does it for the right reasons, and everything's all good, and if he does it purely for the sake of heaven, then this relationship is going to be too good. And bad things, good things are going to happen from this relationship, and the Satan can't allow it to be. And Lavan and Bisuah are waiting. They're listening to Eliezer and Avram, and they wanted to poison him and kill him, to destroy the Shliach, to see, would they be able to kill him? What was going to happen? Eliezer and Avram beat them to it. And he spoke. And in his speech, he said the following thing. This is all from Rav Shor. Rav Shor says he did the following thing. He said, Eli. Instead of the word Ulai, Lo Sova Isha, he said the word Eli. To me. And as Rashi told us before, it means, I have a daughter, says Eliezer. I'm trying to get this wife for Yitzchak. But if I don't get you as Rivka as a wife for Yitzchak, you know who he's going to go to? He's going to go to my daughter. That means that Eliezer has what? Eliezer has an ego. Eliezer has negius. Eliezer has something here, and he feels like he's a part of it. He's not doing it l'shem shemayim. He's not doing it l'shem shemayim. When Bilam Lavan heard that, he said, oh! Oh! You mean it's not l'shem shemayim? Then I'll let you do whatever you want. You want Rivka? Go ahead and take Rivka. When he realized that there was a little bit of missing l'shem shemayim over here, he said, oh, do whatever you want. If you want to take Rivka, it's fine. Because if it was so kadosh, if it was done l'shem shemayim, good things would happen. But because it's not, nothing good will happen. It's l'maisa. Eliezer faked it. He never had a negiah in his life. When he was talking to Avraham Avinu, he said the word Ulai. He didn't say the word Eli. He didn't have any negiahs in his life. He never wanted a day. He said, no, not my daughter. He never thought about such a thing. He never considered such a thing. He didn't even come in. But the Mashiach, we know, Mashiach can't come from ulterior motives. And it seems that Eliezer Avraham had these ulterior motives. It seems that B'chas B'Shalom, Eliezer never had those real thoughts. He did it on purpose to love him, to show him a bit of trickery. And it worked. Lavan was tricked, and Lavan was willing to give over Rivka, thinking that there's something's going to be wrong with this relationship. Something's going to be bad. And Lamaisa, he was right. At the end of the day, although there was a chance for two avos to come from Rivka and Yitzchak, that's how special Rivka and Yitzchak's neshamos were, there was a chance, it didn't turn out to be two avos. Yeah, the greatest man of Kedusha was born, Yaakov Avinu, but the greatest man of Tumah was born in Esav from this relationship. Why? Because showing it as an Egiya, showing that there's a little bit, even though Eliezer was doing L'shem Shemayim in his head, but showing on the outside that there was an Egiya, always brings something wrong. There's something wrong. Lot and his two daughters, although on the inside it was L'shem Shemayim, on the outside it was bad, as you said, Aaron, that caused Eglon Melech Moab to come up, a tremendously tummy human being. Tremendously tummy. Because there were all the other relationships, even though David and Bathsheba, they're purely L'shem Shemayim. We can't understand how L'shem Shemayim they were. Because on the outside, it didn't look so good. The first son that was born, the son that was born before Shlomo Melech, died. That son died. Every single relationship, Yehuda and Tamar, even when they were together, even though it looked unbelievable from the outside, from Yehuda's children came people who did tremendous sins. Tremendous things bad. Because each one of them, although they did a L'shem Shemayim on the inside, on the outside it looked a little bad, so that affected something that happened later on. Yes, Mashiach will come from here, but there are bad things that have to come from there as well.
And you can't do good things.
What do you mean you can't do? Because you're forced. That is the acceptance of any big gavul, to know that there's going to be something wrong. and hopefully your children will be able to overcome that. Certain children will be able to overcome that and eventually lead themselves to the Mashiach. That's the power over here of bringing about Mashiach. You have to do it, L'shem Shemayim. Just something was a little bit off. I'm going to tell you something over here that bothered me for years. For years, I've never really fully been able to understand the end of the parsha. And last year I said a little bit of it. Last year I spoke out a little bit, but I never fully got it, and I never could really... I never really had it. I'm going to give you a bunch of different shatim over here. I'm going to tell you over a couple little crazy things. At the end of the parsha, we all know Avraham Avinu marries Keturah. Some say Keturah is Hagar. Some say Keturah is a different wife. But he marries Keturah. He has six children from Keturah. Six sons that we know about. Six sons. This is way toward the end of his life. And then, he gave all of his things to Yitzchak. He gave all of his koach. It says the following. It says, Vayiten Avram es kol asher lo liYitzchak. Avram Avinu gave everything that was his, he gave it to Yitzchak. Now look at what the pasuk says in Perek Chaf Hei Pasuk Vav. You got to listen to this pasuk. V'livnei pilag shemasher la'Avram, and to the sons of the concubines that Abraham had, nothan Avram matanos. Avram who gave them gifts. There were gifts given to them. Vayishalchem me'al Yitzchak b'no, and he sent them away from Yitzchak his son, b'odenu chai, while he was still alive, came up to the east, el eretz kedem, to the land of the east. Seems like he kicked them out. He said, get out of here, guys. I don't want to see you ever again. Kick them all out. Sent them all the way to the east. I don't get it. Avraham Avinu is a guy. Avraham Avinu is a person who is Megayer Gerim throughout the lands. Megayer Gerim. He went up to people and said, why don't you believe in God? Went throughout the lands telling people, why don't you believe in God? Believe in God. Help you out. Teaching everyone about monotheism. A Gomel Chasadim, he had everybody over his house. A Chanas Sorchem, bring everyone in. You come. Everybody come in. Allowed everybody in. He washed their feet. He taught them how to bench. He taught them all these things. And six of his sons, he kicked out to the east. He said, get out of here. I don't want to see you guys ever again. Why not keep them around Yitzchak? What was he doing? What's the point of this? He gave them gifts. What in the world are these gifts? So Rashi says an unbelievable Rashi. Matanos. Pirshu Rabbosenu, our rabbis have taught us. Shame, Tuma, Masalahem. He gave them the names of impurity. The names of the Shader. The names of how to do Kishuv. He gave it over to them. I mean, that's just unbelievable. Well, what in the world does that mean? Why in the world would he give them Kishuv? What in the world was Avraham Avinu thinking? So first of all, we have to understand, where did these people go to? They went to the Far East, right?
Asia.
Shocking. Asia, India, and China, where magic is at its absolute highest. Where the Kishuv in the world is the highest over there in that area. Absolutely shocking that area is full of Kishuv. And it's from Avraham Avinu. I had a person who once said he was going on about acupuncture. He said, there's two ways to learn acupuncture. The science of acupuncture. The chokhmah that I guess you can call it. One way is to go through a course. It takes about 2 months and whatever it is, and you're all done with it and whatever. There's a 7-year course that is taught in, this person told me, 20 years ago, it was taught in 7 different places in the world. 7 years you have to be there for in order to learn it. Okay? 6 of them are in India. You know where the 7th place is? Take a guess. Israel. Classic, no? 7 places in Israel. He said there's an entire chapter he didn't realize that back then he wasn't from. He became from later on. He said there's an entire chapter in there entirely taken out from Tikkuni HaZohar. Entire chapter. This is in the regular acupuncture book. Taken entirely from the Tikkuni HaZohar. The chokhmah that they have came from Avraham Avinu. All the chokhmahs they have about their Avodah Zarah and everything they have, what they did and what they messed up. And what the Chinese have had, and everything that they've done with them, their Chinese medicines and everything they have, all comes from Avraham Avinu, and those are the matanos he gave them. The question is, why? This has bothered me for years, and I tried giving something last year. Why? What in the world is the point of doing this? Why would Avraham Avinu do this? What's the point? You're giving over something which is pure tuma. It's not like Avraham Avinu. You're making them be over there, but a zara. It's the strangest thing in the world. What in the world is he doing over here? Okay, there's a pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha. It's in Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Yud Gimel. Everybody remembers this pasuk. When he went down to Mitzrayim, says the following. It says, Imri no achosiat, say please that you are my sister. L'man yitav li bavureich, so that they'll do good for me because of you. V'choysa nafshi biglaleich, and though I will live because of you. That's what it says over there, right? Later on, when he left, those things that he got, those good things that he got, Rashi says, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Where is it? He says, "Laman yitav li baburech." Rashi says, "Yitnu li." They will give me matanos, gifts. Tell me, what was Mitzrayim really well known for back then? Their amounts of magic and their amounts of Avodah Zarah. Chazal tell us that Avraham Avinu learned 300 prakim of Avodah Zarah down in Mitzrayim. You know how many prakim we have nowadays in Avodah Zarah? That many. Five. What? We're missing 295 prakim that Avraham Avinu had in Mesechus Avodah Zarah. 295 prakim. That's how many we're missing. This is the strangest thing. He went down to Mitzrayim to learn all about Kishuv, all about Maisa Shedim. What's the pshat? Because he wanted to know the other side. Not because Chatz or someone, he was swayed by it. He wasn't swayed by anything. He knew Nimrod. He knows Tuma. He knew all this garbage. He sat there and he said, I want to learn what it is to know how to be Mavapalit. To know how to destroy it. All the Talmid HaChachamim that were on Sanhedrin were required to know Kishuv. They were required to know Kishuv. All of Hilchos Kishuv. Why? Because if somebody would use Kishuv against them, they'd be able to use it right back. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kufei, where there were two Talmidei Chachamim that were sitting on a boat. A woman said to them, let me sit in between you. They said, absolutely not. I mean, that would be weird by any standard, but this woman was a witch anyway. So they said, absolutely not. And she stopped the boat. Amra Milsav Pasak Arba. She said something and she stopped the boat. So they said something and made the boat move again. Made the boat go on the water again. Wow. You have to use this Kishuv to be able to go. Now, we don't know what this means. The Rambam says there's no such thing as Kishuv. I don't believe that the Rambam wrote that series. The Gemara speaks about such a thing. I think the Rambam meant it in a different way. I don't understand what the Rambam means by that, but it seems that there was such a thing as Kishuv back then, and it was extremely powerful. There were such things as Shadim back then, or their power was much more powerful than it is today. There's something that's out there that's extremely powerful. He learned all about this Kishuv. He had the 300 Prakim of Avodah Zarah. He learned it all in Mitzrayim. But he didn't want to use it for himself. He didn't need it. He didn't need anything from it. The matanos he received, he gave straight down to the B'nai Keturah. He gave them down to them. Matanos is the gematria of 890, mem tof nun tof. It's 890. It's the same gematria as lumdam lahashpia l'shedim. He taught them how to swear to shedim, how to get shedim and to do things. That's the chizkuni, the das, the kanim, and the Rabbeinu Ephraim all give the exact same gematria. All three of them say that lumdam lahashpia l'shedim, to be able to swear to the shedim and to be able to. That's what he was teaching them. That was the point of the matanos, to be able to teach them what to do. But that makes no sense. According to one opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, B'nai Noach are nizar and kishuv. Non-Jews are not allowed to do magic. There's a halacha that goes that way. So how in the world could you do this? Avraham Avinu is over on Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol. He's over on Lifnei Iver. How is he allowed to do it? Say, okay. So the Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, no, it was according to the other opinion, this medrash holds, the medrash that holds that it was matanos is according to the other opinion, but this opinion is something different. This is going with the Rabbanan that said that it's mutter. The Maral Diskin says it was Lifnei, the Lifnei, that he taught them how to use Shemos to save other people. He taught them the shamos that you can use in order to save people from other people. That's what he ended up doing, one to the other. Okay, that I hear. But there's got to be a better answer than that. And there is a much, much better answer than that. By the way, the whole thing of the matanos from Mitzrayim being given over, look at the rest of that Rashi and Pasuk Yud Gimel, and you're going to see a wondrous thing in Rashi. Unbelievable thing in Rashi. Look at the rest of Rashi and Pasuk over here, and Chayisara, when it goes through Pasuk Vav, I'm sorry.
Chayisara?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Pasuk Vav right over here. Nesnavram Matanos. Check out what it says, Pasuk Vav and Chayisara. Check out what it says. You'll see an unbelievable thing, a remez to what I'm saying right now. Regardless, but you'll see it out. Ready for this? Rav Schwab says, the entire thing is unbelievable. How many wives did Avraham Avinu have? So Yalkut Eiv says he had three wives. That makes sense. Keturah, Hagar, and Sarah. There is a Zohar that says he had four wives. There's a Medrash Rabbah, says Reb Schwab, that seems to say he had five wives. And they give Diyukim from different Psukim. Sent them to the east. So on the unbelievable things. Reb Schwab says the following thing. We're going to have five different ways of looking at it. The fifth is going to be a doozy. The fifth one is going to knock off your... If you're wearing shoes and socks, it may knock them both off. I would take them off now, just in case. Just take them off. Just take them off. There's no reason to have them on. You leave your socks on. There's a little knock covered to the base matters. Just have your socks... I'm telling you, your socks are going to be knocked off. That's the fifth one. Number one, Reb Schwab says they would be able to use the shemos when they were tame. even if they themselves were tame and they were full of tumah, which they were. They were living in the east and they were full of tumah. They were non-Jewish people who were living in tumah. They didn't go to the mikvah. They didn't have anything to do with it. They would still be able to use these shemos. Not all shemos can be used this way. Only these shemos can be used this way. And the pshat is that they'd use this chokhmah to become powerful and stay away from everyone else. That anything that they needed, they would be able to use these shemos and get them whatever they wanted. But they have to stay away from Yitzchak. Only Ishmael fights Yitzchak. Having wanted the best for everyone in the world. So he taught them how to use these shemos. These are Tamei shemos. Not bad shemos of Kishuf. Not shemos of Shadim. Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that could be said when a person is Tamei. To get whatever you want. Daven for whatever you want, you're guaranteed to get it. He taught them these words. And if you say this name of God, you will get this. And if you say this name of God, you'll get that. And he taught them all how to use it. And they didn't need tumah. But the only people who can stay around Yitzchak is Yishmael. You six have to get to the east.
Why is Yishmael out there?
That's there is something different. B'nai Keturah became the Indians and the Chinese who do their own thing. The Chinese they didn't allow themselves to be brought into the rest of the world. It was through the Chokhmah of Avmin to keep them by themselves. So Lamaisa keep their shemos, keep their magic to themselves, do whatever they need to do. But Lamaisa, Yishmael and Yitzchak do get out in the Middle East. It's going to be Yishmael and Yitzchak on their own in the Middle East. Number two, the Yalkut Ruveni. Yalkut Ruveni says, because they had the ability to get whatever they want, whenever they wanted it, they had these shemos to be able to do it, they wouldn't be able to complain about the Yerusha given to Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak got all the money. He got everything in the tent. He got everything that Avraham Avinu owned. So what did they get? They had everything they wanted. They are only given the shemos to be able to get what they wanted, to make it up, and as soon as they got whatever they wanted, so they wouldn't be upset about Yitzchak getting Yerusha, they would feel like they actually got Yerusha. They had all the gold they wanted, all the silver they wanted, all the money they wanted, everything they could possibly need, they're happy. And that's it. And then the shemos wore off, and they're all gone. That's the Yalkut Ruveni, that they never came back. That's the idea behind it. Yitzchak would get Olam Haba. They would get Olam Hazeh. They'd be very happy that way. That would be the idea of what they were doing. Number three, Chedusha Gaonim says the exact opposite. They have to know, they have to stay away from the Tumah of the Far East. They have to be successful in combating and going up against it. Because they knew what their powers were. They knew what, they now would know from Avraham, you know, what the powers of this Kishuf is. How powerful they are. And he knew that the Shoresh of those Kochos all comes from, anybody know? The Lat HaCharev HaMisapachas. The flaming sword that surrounds Gan Eden, that goes around outside of Gan Eden. Where is that? In the east. We don't understand what that means. But it was put to the east of Eden. The east of Gan Eden. The east of Gan Eden. And somewhere in the east is that Lat HaCharev HaMisapachas with tremendous amounts of Shadim. Tremendous amounts of Malachi Chavalah, Malachi Mashkas. Says the Chedush HaGaonim, in order to stay away from those Shadim, to stay away from those Mazikin, stay away from those Malachi Mashkas, they had to be able to go ahead and have and know what these Shemos were. What the Tumah was. Here's the name of this shade. Here's the name of that shade. The shade of the bathroom. The shade of the living room. The shade of eating. The shade of this. They would know the names of all the Shadim. Not to use them, it was also to use them, but to know what they were, and to know that if they see somebody doing magic, walking on water, flying in the air, doing something crazy, they would know that's from these guys, that's from all these Shadim, that's from all the powers of Koach and Tumah that there is out there. So Avraham taught them not to use them. Not like the first two pshatim, not to use those kochas atumah, not to use kishuf, not to do anything like that, but to combat them and to know it's all a fake. God can do everything and it all originally comes from God. To know that it's all fake, to know that it's all out there. That's why Arabs who live close by Yishmael has nothing to do with anything with magic. The B'chlal can't get anywhere near magic. Don't go anywhere near it. Why? Because the Maisa, the whole from Avraham, you know, that everything like that is usur. They were taught what that tumah is, and they were taught to stay away from it as far away as they possibly can. And according to this pshat, the Arabs are not the Chinese. They are not the Indians. They live right around here to the east of us, but close enough to the Kishuv that they would have been affected if not for Avraham, you know, teaching them what they needed to know.
Okay, we got four. This is going to lead us to one of the last ones. You should know, by the way, Shemchai Ben Azol, remember those two Malachim that were Nephilim that came down to earth, that flew down to earth, and they gave all the kokos the tumor to the world? They're also in India somewhere. That's according to a Medrash, brought down from the Moscow with David. What? What? Three was the Chiddush Agonim. This is exactly what we just said, to be combat everything and to go up against everything. Number four, the Marshal, the Chido, Shaul Sechuvah's Maram, and the parties Yosef all said the following. Says, these guys were skeptics. They did not believe in God. They didn't believe in Kochos Atumah. They didn't believe in Kishuv. They were the guys nowadays who are like, there never was such a thing as Shadim. That's what it was. These guys were all skeptics. They didn't believe it actually existed. So Avraham Avinu taught them these shemos for emergency situations. Because there ain't no atheists in a foxhole, as we all know. So eventually you're going to hit a foxhole, Avraham Avinu told them. When you hit that foxhole, when that ends up happening, use these names of God. You'll be guaranteed to be saved. That's when it ends up happening. And that's mutter. Sefer Hasidim is a whole thing when you're allowed to use God's names in order to save yourself. That's out there, but that's the fourth answer. Now comes the fifth.
Why would he... I don't understand. Why is he sending them off into an area where they're going to mess up, they're going to be stuck in these situations... Why send them in the first place? You could send them to the north.
Because
or
they
send
were,
them south.
Because they were atheists, and they didn't believe in God.
That's why he burned
they didn't
them.
Believe in all these spiritual things. So Avraham Avinu specifically sent them to the place where spirituality is so high. Where all the ruchnias is so much better everywhere else. The Indians and the Chinese, according to this chat, were also not Avraham Avinu's children. There were other people who came up with their own ideas of Kishuv. So Avraham Avinu specifically sent them to them to show them there is ruchnias in the world, and when you're ready, you'll come back and you'll see the real ruchnias from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He taught them the names that they needed in emergency situations, that in crazy situations they would say the name of God, they'd be able to save themselves from the tumah that's out there in that world. But they'll realize there's something more than just the physicality that meets the eye. That's why he specifically sent them out there in order to do that. That's what they seem to say. The Zohar says the last one. Now this one, I will tell you, is one that, I can't really say that I understand all these, but the Zohar is one that's very, very hard to understand. Similar to what we said before, Eliezer, in order to bring Mashiach, had to do something that looked strange on the outside, but on the inside was something totally different. But on the outside looked absolutely terrible. So listen to what the Zohar says. Just like Avraham Avinu made Garam, quoting from the Zohar right now, this is quoted from another sefer, I did not look in the Zohar myself. Just like Avraham Avinu made Garam, he also made people that had to go off the derech. It's a very hard line. Well, my son, doesn't it bother you that Avraham Avinu loved everyone in the world and yet fought against the four kings? I mean, he's a man of peace, right? What would happen if Obama was Avraham Avinu? He'd offer them a peace treaty. Avraham Avinu would have gone up to them and said, like, please, can you let Lot go? No, please, 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 please. And then eventually, what would he do? He'd borrow all transport from their country. He'd just say, like, all right, we're not exporting anything to you. That's what he would have done. But Avraham Avinu didn't do that. Avraham Avinu, who loved everyone unbelievably well, went out to war and killed them. That's unbelievable. Do you ever wonder about that? The man of love, the man who loved everyone in the world, the man who invited everyone over to his tent, went and fought a war? What? Love hurts. So it's pshat. Here's how the Zohar seems to understand it. Zohar seems to say that you gotta give something to the Sapphire. Or else the Sapphire won't allow the Kedusha to be. If you want the ultimate in Kedusha, in order to bring up the level of the entire world, and it's not yet time for the Kedusha to be on that level to take over the entire world, you gotta give it Tumah to combat that Kedusha. You gotta give powers of Tumah to combat the Kedusha at all times. As Zeh Le'uma Zeh also Elokim. This one opposite that one did God make. For every Moshe Rabbeinu, there's always a Bilam. And the Chassam Sofer says, the same way that there's a Rebbe Akiva of Kedusha, there's a Rebbe Akiva of Tumah. At the same time, the Rebbe Akiva went and darshened all his drushos. There was still Turnus Rufus who went up against Rebbe Akiva. When there was a Rebbe Yoshua, there was an Andronicus Caesar, Hadrian. There was always someone on the other side. For every bit of Kedusha, there was every bit of that combating this tumor. Until the times of Mashiach, where Kedusha rules and knocks down the tumor altogether, and all the tumor is gone from the world, until that point, Kedusha has to have tumor combating it at all times. So because he brought so much Kedusha in the world with Yitzchak and Rivka, all the Kedusha that he brought in the world, he needed to bring tumor in. Or else the Satan wouldn't allow it to be. And that's why he gave the Shemos Atuma over to the Bnei Apilakshim, which may even include Yishmael. He gave over those Tuma, the Kokos, and all the powers of what is out there in the world, all the bad powers, to be able to combat those powers of good. And that's a vort, that's a level that I'll tell you, it's a complicated subject. It requires a lot more thought on my part, requires a lot more thought on your part. It's something to really think about. That means that every time somebody does something kadosh, a tiny bit of it is given over to the sun. When you wear a tefillin, says the Tanya Nagin, those little hairs that are on top of the tefillin is giving over a little bit to the sun. When you bench, the washing your hands for Mayim Achronim is the tiny bit that you're giving over to the sun. Everything you do, there's a tiny little bit that's given over to Tuma that it can allow you, it's ki'ilu, a gift that a Kadosh Baruch Hu allows the Sultan to have for the Kedusha to be ever more potent for ourselves. The seer Lazaza. The same exact idea of on Yom Kippur, you brought a seer to Azaza. What does that mean? That's the Ramban over there on Parshas Emor. There's a lot to talk about with the seer Lazaza. I'm sorry, not Emor. I don't know. Parshas Akremos. It's a lot to talk about with this. But that's the idea of what Eliezer had to do by the Satan in order to bring Mashiach about. And that's the idea of why Avinu had to give the Shemos Atuma over to the Bnei Pilakshim. He had to send them away with the Shemos Atuma so that Yitzchak could be Kadosh. That Yitzchak would be unbelievably Kadosh. Sometimes you love. Sometimes you fight a war. That's what Avraham Avinu is teaching us. Sometimes it's time to wage a war. Sometimes you got to send certain people out. It's a lesson that I don't fully understand, and I don't fully get, and I want to work on. But I wanted to bring it out here. Hopefully we'll be able to work on it. We'll be able to get something in it, try to figure something out with it. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a good Shabbos.